In our society, there are two religious holidays each year which some people still recognize, Christmas and Easter. For most people, Christmas is the bigger celebration. For most people, that's the time when they gather with family and friends, sing, celebrate, exchange presents. Christmas is thought of as the most important time. And for Easter, well, for many people, Easter has become just a long weekend. And in general, then, the world thinks much of Christmas, but little of Easter. And yet, at Easter time, many churches celebrate and remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And actually, without that resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, his coming into the world, which is celebrated at Christmas time, would not really make much sense. It is Jesus risen from the dead who answers the deepest and most profound questions that men and women, boys and girls have. When we think about the big issues of life, sometimes you see people on the street selling a magazine, the big issue. Well, the Bible is saying to you this morning, the biggest issue. Here's the biggest issue. Is Jesus risen from the dead? If we get that wrong and get our thinking mixed up about the resurrection, if the resurrection had not happened, then Christ coming into the world would have no meaning. If the resurrection is not true, then the story of a baby born in a little town 2,000 years ago, it wouldn't really make sense. Where is this gospel story going if Jesus is still dead and buried? It is the great miracle of Jesus' resurrection from the dead that gives Jesus coming into the world meaning. So what I want to look with you this morning is at some big questions and see how this big issue of Jesus rising from the dead provides answers to those questions. And the first question I want us to think about is the question of doubt. Sometimes people sincerely ask, how can I know which religion is the right one? In our multicultural society, there's a supermarket of religions these days. How do you know which is the right one? How do you know there's one that gives real answers? How can you find something that is real and true and authentic? It's an important question because some people would say that there's not that much difference between Christianity and the other religions of the world. Now, that's not what the Bible says, but that's what many in our society would say. World religions have great leaders, so does Christianity. World religions have holy books, Christians have the Bible. World religions have miracle stories, the Gospels have miracle stories. The religions have ethical standards, so does Christianity. So if we asked the average person in the UK, perhaps the average person anywhere in the world, what religion is about, they might say something like this. They would say there is a God. He cares about us. He wants us to be kind to others, honest in our dealings, faithful in our relationships. But how we treat other people, that's the important thing. That's what religion should be about. And even thoughtful and well-educated people think that way about religion. There was an author, Neil Postman, for example, a very insightful social commentator, very perceptive in the way he analyzed the relationship between religion and society. He was not a Christian, he was a Jew. Here's his summary of what the Bible teaches. He says, the Bible summary is there is one God who created the universe and all that is in it. Although human beings can never fully understand God, he's revealed himself through the commandments of the Bible. And the greatest of the commandments tells us to love God and to love others. And that's his summary of the Bible. And it's pretty predictable, perhaps, in the light of our multicultural society, but there's nothing distinctively Christian about it. Nothing particularly Christians, for example, with a few alterations. We could say it's the teaching of Islam, of Hinduism, of Buddhism, even of atheism, which is why our society is drifting further and further towards this multi-faith idea that it doesn't matter what you believe. Just be kind to each other and God will accept us at the end. Now, those thoughts are very common, as I say, very predictable. But actually, biblical Christianity says something revolutionary and different. There is nothing commonplace, nothing predictable, nothing ordinary about the Bible's message. It's a revolutionary message. Terrifying, devastating, exhilarating, confusing and consoling, and yet the Bible's message speaks of one fact that sets Christianity apart from every other religious system in the world. Go to the tombs of the founders of the great world religions. If you did a roll call this morning, Muhammad, dead and buried. Moses, dead and buried. Buddha, dead and buried. Confucius, dead and buried. Jesus Christ, not dead, not buried. It's the revolutionary message of Christianity, that Jesus was dead, was placed in a tomb, but that tomb is now empty because Jesus Christ is not dead. He is risen from the dead. So if people ask what religion is the right religion, I say go to the religion whose founder rose from the dead. Listen to what Jesus Christ himself said. It's part of our text as a church on the wall behind me. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That is the answer to the question of doubt. How can we be sure that there is a God and that the Christian faith is authentic and real and true? Bible's answer is, because the tomb in which Jesus laid when he was dead is now empty because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is the death conqueror. Jesus Christ had the power to conquer death because he was the Son of God, God the Son. He answers the question of doubt. The question of guilt, secondly. It's a strange but startling fact that no truth about the Bible is so easy to prove as what the Bible says about human sinfulness. If you pick up the newspaper, if you turn on the TV, if you listen to the radio, if you look on social media, on the internet, or better still, if you look in the mirror, the evidence is very clear. The Bible says we have all sinned. It tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one here this morning, no one in the world who can claim that they've lived an absolutely sinless life. And that guilt whispers to us in the dark and it shames us in the light. No one is born without sin. No one lives without sin. No one can claim to be totally free from sin. So the Bible's question to you this morning is not, are you a sinner? Because the answer is always yes. Am I a sinner? Yes. Are you a sinner? Yes. Is the person sitting next to you a sinner? Yes. The question the Bible wants you to think about this morning, how do you get rid of those sins? How do you get rid of the guilt of sin in the soul? Now, there are different ways that our society seems to be trying to deal with that problem. Some people try to do good. They want to, as it were, balance the scales. Be a good father, be a good mother. Work with charity, work with Boy Scouts. Contribute to good causes. Pay your taxes, pay your debts. Work hard in your job. be a fine citizen, make the world a better place. And they hope then by good deeds, there'll be some way they can find forgiveness and freedom from guilt. Some people try to cover guilt through the pursuit of pleasure. So for those, life becomes a party. Everything is about lights and music. They laugh and talk and keep moving. And there's perpetual motion and perpetual noise. The lights are never turned off. The noise never dies down. But in the hard moments, people turn perhaps to alcohol or drugs or pills. Try to deaden that deep inner sense of guilt. Or then some people become very religious. They say they'll make peace with God through religion. Get baptized, take communion, read the Bible, attend Mass. Become religious. But none of those answers really deal with the guilt problem. This root problem. You can't be good enough to erase your guilt. You can't laugh enough to drown out the guilt. You can't be religious enough to cover the guilt. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that answers this big issue for us. We were thinking, Good Friday, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that brings forgiveness of sins. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, says the Bible. But how can you be sure and know it this morning? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, says the Bible. If Jesus Christ is still in the tomb, then we are still in our sins. If the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then the Romans and the Jewish leaders, when they crucified him to get rid of him, that would be the end. That was their triumph. But says the Bible, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So the cross was not just the execution of a well-meaning but misguided religious leader. Jesus rose from the dead, which is why Good Friday is called Good Friday. Because Jesus Christ does offer forgiveness. And because the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead makes that forgiveness real and effective in your heart and life this morning. You want forgiveness of sin? You want release from guilt? Look to the risen Jesus Christ in faith. Look to the one who rose victorious from the dead. And you will find forgiveness and peace and new life. So the question of doubt, the question of guilt. Thirdly, the question of loneliness. Isn't it amazing that in London, over 9.5 million people, that there are people who feel lonely? Where can I find a friend, they ask. Where can I find a friend? And of course, life in the fast lane in London, people hurrying everywhere, get up, get dressed, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed, do it all again, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. We live in a very fast, frantic society. Many people never get to know their neighbours. We put up fences and gates and put in security systems. People move in and out so fast. There are many people in London, many people all around us, with heavy hearts, lonely, no one they can call a friend. T.S. Eliot said that hell is the great void, the land of ugly nothingness, he called it. You cry for help, but no one hears. You are falling, falling, falling through the darkness. A place of utter aloneness, outer darkness. And against that stands Jesus Christ risen from the dead, who says to all who trust in him, lo, he says, look, I am with you always. That's what Jesus said this side of the empty tomb, after he'd risen from the dead. Those words have meaning because Jesus Christ is risen. So Jesus Christ can say to those who trust in him, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. How can you know it's true? How can you rest your life on it? How can you have a friend in Jesus? Because, says the Bible, he rose from the dead. He lives today. That's why he's with his people forever. That's why the Christian is never alone, never forsaken. Do you have a friend in Jesus Christ this morning? Can you say, what a friend I have in Jesus? All my sins and griefs he has borne. I can go to him anytime. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer because you have a friend in Jesus Christ. The question of doubt, the question of guilt, the question of loneliness. Fourthly, the question of weakness. We struggle because we have standards, perhaps, intentions, ideals, but we fall short. That's why each new year people say they're going to make New Year's resolutions. But every year they keep making resolutions, resolutions, resolutions. Because we know we don't keep even our own standards, let alone God's standards. Where is the answer to that question of our natural weakness? We can't save ourselves. We can't rescue ourselves. We can't make our own way to God. We need a saviour. Well, says the Bible, in our weakness, how much power did it take to raise Jesus from the dead? If we could translate it into units of power, was it the equivalent power of a nuclear explosion? Was it like the power of the Hadron Collider in Switzerland? The Bible's answer of the miracle of the resurrection, this power of God at work. Think how much power you would have if you had resurrection power. The same Holy Spirit by whom Jesus was raised from the dead, says the Bible, here's this good news for the Christian. That power is at work in you when you trust in Jesus Christ. If you're a heart Christian this morning,